In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Greetings, travelers. Yes, it's time. I've been putting this one off because I have strong feelings about it, but I've had so many people commenting on it. It's so dominating the headlines. We had to work this in. We talk about it a little bit in an episode that probably won't air for a couple weeks because Eric and I record the big guest episodes ahead of time. We have to interview and do all the editing and all that for Bo. So it's as those are a lot of work, but I have to get this one out quick. I didn't want this to come out as quick as it is, but here we go. I'm forced to do this. Annabelle, the true story. Oh my gosh. Positively, do not open is the warning to those who visit the Warren's Occult Museum, which is really the home of Annabelle the doll. But she's been traveling of late. Everybody noticed the famous headline. She went to New Orleans and suddenly Marie Laveau's house caught on fire and suddenly this fantastic plantation burned down and everybody says, Annabelle to blame, is Annabelle to blame, all this. And then there's the other half of why is Annabelle touring? Because she's the most haunted doll in the world. She's a scary thing. Why is she leaving the Warren's Museum? And who are these terrible people who are taking her out and making money off of her and all that? Well, we all have our issues with this, and I have some history here. I have met Annabelle, not on tour, at the Warren Museum, not recently. This was in the, early 80s, late 70s? No, early 80s. I was a kid, and I've told this story before. I've wrote Hans Holzer, because I was fascinated with ghosts due to experiences as a child. And then he referred me to this couple that I didn't know called Ed and Lorraine Warren, who had dealt with the Enfield poltergeist, which I was fascinated with, as was something I felt similar to my early encounters. He forwarded me onto them because they had investigated Enfield. And they were super nice, wrote me back, and then invited me to their house in Connecticut. And my father drove me out there, being a Greyhound bus guy. He was okay with it. Dropped me off at this with this little old lady who came out to talk to me. Dad just came back a few hours later, and Lorraine was wonderful. She had cookies for me, and we went into the haunted museum. And we walked by this one case where there was this Raggedy Ann doll, and it said, positively do not open. And I said, what's that? And she just said, it's a haunted doll. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really caring about that. I wanted to see the music box from the Enfield case. That was my extent of my involvement with Annabelle and walking out and wondering, what the hell was that? Little did I know. And that's, you know, one of those moments in time you don't think about. It was before digital cameras or anything like that, so I didn't take any pictures. I didn't think about anything of it. I was just a kid happy to talk ghosts with some adults. And my dad came back and got me later, and that was it. That was my encounter. I didn't feel anything from it. I feel things from some things. We talk about our best boy down in Key West, and believe me, I felt a lot around him. We got to talk a little bit about the history. I'm not going to go deep into it. You can all read about it, but there was a great book called The Demonologist, and it was written by Gerald Brittle, that was based on Ed and Lorraine Warren's documents of their case files and interviews. But the names are all weird in this. The names in the case are changed or different, because even like Deidre Bernard is referred to as Donna or Debbie. Laura Clifton is sometimes referred to as Angie. Cal Randall, who is one of the figures in this, is sometimes referred to as Lou. It's very confusing. So what happened was the Warrens approached this guy to write the story of Annabelle. And the story goes that 1970, Deidre Bernard received a Raggedy Ann doll for her 25th birthday. Her mother had given it to her in hopes that it would bring her cheer, right? And she was studying to become a nurse. And she put the doll in her bed. And after a few days, she noticed something peculiar. Every day she would leave a Raggedy Ann doll one way, and the next day it would be in a different way. The legs would be folded in different positions. Sometimes it'd be cross. Sometimes it'd be, you know, resting, like it had fallen over and fallen asleep. She would find the doll pointing outwards as though it was like pointing at something. Suddenly it started moving room to room when she was gone to work. And then other people in the apartment started feeling the weird effects, right? And so Deidre returned home, and her roommate, Laura, who was also a trainee nurse, and her fiance, who was Cal, they opened the door and they found the doll kneeling before them on a chair. And it was just staring at them with those black Raggedy Ann eyes. And yes, Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll, gang, not the creepy one from the movies, not a porcelain doll. But basically, they were so bothered by this relocation that they tried to make it kneel again, and it had no joints how to kneel. So it just kept flopping over. So something had to be keeping it in a kneeling position. So then it gets weirder, right? Notes written in paper were starting to show up randomly around the apartment. Messages included phrases like "help us" or "help Cal." And Deidre nor her roommates could find any of the messages with anything that meant anything. So, and not only that, none of them kept like pencils and parchment around the apartment. So they thought someone was breaking in, of course, and doing strange things, because they did see marks around windows and doors, and that so they started rearranging the furniture in hopes that if anyone did enter apartment, they would fall over, but nothing. The doll continued to move from room to room, change its posture. And one day they came home and the doll's hand was covered in something which they thought were blood. And that's when they freaked out. So they contacted a psychic. The psychic said, "Oh, there's the spirit of a 7-year-old girl in the doll. And she used to play in the area. And back when it was just fields, she apparently died suddenly. And so her spirit wandered to fields, found the apartments, looked for a place to haunt, found the doll. So she joined the doll." That was when it gets worse. As Erica would say, "What?" Yes. They basically said, "Oh, it's no longer a doll. It's a girl named Annabelle. And she's lonely and young. So she's like, I'll take it in. It'll be nice." And then Cal was like, "No, no, no, no." He was pulling an Erica. "This is a voodoo doll. And you're being tricked." At this point, Annabelle realizes Cal's a threat. So she starts plaguing him with nightmares, ill feelings. And then he saw it like gliding over him. Then it tried to strangle him. It was crazy. And so Cal got loose. He was not happy about this. So he saw that he had to get rid of this. He even felt claw marks and stuff like that. And Laura saw blood on his shirt. We're realizing Annabelle is escalating. So they contacted a local priest, and he contacted superiors, who then passed the story on to Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, Ed and Lorraine listened to the testimonies, and they said there was never an Annabelle. It was a trick of a demonic, inhuman spirit that was coming through the medium. And because you guys had let the entity possess the doll, it has permission to now infect all of you and start inflicting harm. If it had continued unchecked, it probably they all would have been dead within a week or two. Ed contacted a priest and asked for a cleansing and exorcism. And the priest exorcised and blessed the apartments. And at Deidre's request, the Warrens took the doll home with them. And they were free from the entity. But Fred and Lorraine, this was the beginning. And with no time at all, it starts messing with them in their car. It messes with them several times over. So he had it at a chair in his desk, Ed said. And then she would hear growls, Lorraine said, that would come from all around the house. They finally had a priest come in to talk about some other case. And he picked up the doll, said, Annabelle, you can't hurt anything. You're just a doll. And Ed warned him. But then the priest was in a car wreck and nearly died right after that. So that's the scale, right, of Annabelle. So they locked her in the case, said, never let her be touched again. Do not open. Gerald comes into this. He based his book on the case files and exclusive interviews with them and the years that followed. It was all presented as true. And in 2014, this became mentioned in the Conjuring movie and then came out in the whole prequel, Annabelle. The actual evidence, though, for Annabelle? Well, let's talk about that after the break.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Welcome back. The actual evidence for Annabelle being infested by an inhuman demonic spirit. Yeah, there's not a lot. Beyond the testimonies of the Warrens and that Raggedy Ann doll locked away, there's not a lot to prove the truth, right? Certainly the names are even hard to prove. Deidre, Donna, Debbie, depending on which version they told. The Warrens' initial handling of the case is not one of their best. They didn't collect any evidence when they met Deidre and the others. The testimonies were just 100% face value. Demonic infestation, the only conclusion. And now, admittedly, Lorraine's clairvoyance is the strong point in this, and she's the reason it could convince people. The others supposedly have no warrant, no reason to lie and no misrepresentation. Again, we don't even know 100% who they were. So with a shaky base, everybody's got to be like, who were these people? Then also, we've now learned Warrens, while they were super nice to me and are very kind-hearted, we've learned, you know, their NESPR, the New England Society for Psychic Research, has attracted just about as much criticism and controversy as the goodwill it has done. They did profit greatly from their book sales and their ticketing events and tickets to their museum. But they didn't charge me, though. I will say that. But they would get $5,000 for each lecture they did pretty much in throughout the late 80s and early 90s. Pretty much, all that said, like us, they got to eat. So yeah, you can make an income. Nobody is going to complain about that. And they did a lot of paranormal research for nothing. So I give them that. But there's a picture of Lorraine holding Annabelle, which, what? She's holding Annabelle? I thought it never left the case. I thought it was too dangerous to hold and all this crazy stuff. Well, she later said about that picture, oh, that's just a replica. We brought it out for the newspapers. She has a replica of Annabelle? I didn't know that. I had never heard that, but apparently it was. The museum itself, it was incredible. many of the items, one of the original Book of Shadows, he said, was there. Ed said, I just thought it was a weird, creepy old book. At one point, Ed, though, later said that he had a copy of the Necronomicon, which we know was a fiction and that was created by H.P. Lovecraft. Wow, that's some of their stuff. And some people even say that his Book of Shadows might have been something fake, which is sad because that really didn't come out till the neo-pagan movement of the 1940s and 50s. There's some odd stuff. So Annabelle, you know, in that museum could be very well similar type stuff. We can't judge them too harshly for that. Human errors, that's us, man. We have an ability to scrutinize and we take people's stories 100% when they tell us it. We take it with a skeptical eye when we read our listener tales and our listener questions, but we are just reading them flat. And we hope that these people are treating us genuinely. We hope they're not hoaxing us. I'm sure there are some that did. I'm sure there are some that are laughing at us treating them seriously, but that doesn't stop the others that are writing us and really need the help. And I think we're learning now a little bit that Ed may have not been 100% the nicest guy to some of the people he worked with. He may have done some bad things, but we're all human and that happens. But Annabelle on tour, well, I have some issues with that because, hey, Annabelle, if it is demonic infestation, why are you bringing it where it can hurt people? Yes, it's in a protected case, all that. That doesn't necessarily mean it's safe. And you're giving this thing even more power, what it wants, what it needs. And that terrifies me. But also, if you aren't taking it out, then nobody's seeing it because the Warren Museum has been closed. It's in a neighborhood. They no longer allow their meetings. They don't no longer allow people to tour the museum. Of course, the Warrens are gone. Their son-in-law now taking objects and saying, hey, the Warrens used to take objects to all their seminars. So why shouldn't we take Annabelle to some of these? Well, they didn't take Annabelle. They took a lot of other items. They took that music box. They took other possessed items that weren't as dangerous. So if Annabelle's truly in danger, why would you take that to New Orleans? Why would you take that to Texas? Why would you take it to Pennsylvania, to Pennhurst? Well, honestly, dollar bills. That's what they took it for. They need the money to have people come see it. Sad thing is, I think that makes her less scary and less frightening. Oh, these things happening in New Orleans. Yeah. Coincidence, sadly. I'm pretty skeptical on this. One of the biggest things on this, Ray Garten, he's an American author, mostly worked in horror. And he's written about 60 books at this point. He wrote In a Dark Place, The Story of a True Haunting. And the focus of the story was a possession case that the Warrens used. And this later inspired the 2009 horror film, The Haunting in Connecticut. And the story told of the Snedekers, who was a family possessed by ghosts and demons. And according to the book, these entities had such a strong grip on the family that they were actually assaulted by these beings. Now, the truth about this is kind of questionable, but most of the evidence comes from the Warrens. But then Ray Garten said in an interview, he worked closely with the Warrens and the family while writing the book. However, after entering the family about their experiences, he encountered a problem. And so here's his quote. I found the accounts of the individual Snedekers didn't quite mesh. They couldn't keep their story straight. And I went to Ed with this problem. And he said, oh, they're crazy. He said, you've got some of the story. Just use what works and make the rest up. Just make it up and make it scary. I used what I could. I made up the rest and I made it as scary as I could. So maybe it's all just slander. maybe Garton and some of the other writers just are trying to tarnish the worthiness of the Warrens. But in the case of Annabelle, the only word we got is the Warrens. And if they had a fake doll, do you think maybe that's the one they're taking on tour and leaving Annabelle, the real Annabelle, safely locked away? If that case, they're kind of scamming the people who come to see Annabelle. But if that's not the case and they're bringing the real Annabelle out, maybe she's not as scary as people think. Either way, it's not a good look. So thank you all for listening. I hope I kind of opened your eyes. I hope you can listen for these things. I hope you just kind of think about these things and understand them. I'll put a link to some of the books from the Warrens. I'll put a link to some of the other things in the show notes. Again, thank you, Patreon members, for keeping us afloat. Thank you, listeners, for always tuning in. If you like this, please let me know if you want me to debunk some more, or like this, just kind of leave it with an open mind. I'm not really sure. I hate to think bad things, but when it looks like a duck, and sounds like a duck, and it smells like a duck, might be a chicken, but it's probably a duck. And we'll see you on the other side.